Remember pointing to your wrist to ask for the time? Or a time when bandages came in only one skin color? For over 12 years, officials at Beloit College in Wisconsin have been putting together the Beloit College Mindset List, an index of cultural experiences that shape the lives of students entering college for the first time. The list was originally compiled to make the faculty more aware of dated references, but since it's become a testament to our ever-changing world.
Join us as blogger Michael Liatt walks with us down memory lane and shares his amazing story on road rage and self-pleasure from the second-story window at the gym.
Plus, all the hot news. Boycott Target, boycott Skynet. Is supporting corporations' attempts to control politicians the same as supporting evil robots from the future?
Fetishizing foods that are really, really bad for you.
Westboro Baptist Church wins the right to hate everybody in Missouri.
And the hardest four-letter word to figure out in the game of Hangman. Bet you can't guess it.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. You want some chicken, honey?
Sure. Why are you saying that?
Because you told me to.
No.
We're talking about being hungry. Food.
I was just thinking about Queen Joan of the Bayou.
Oh, Queen Joan.
Yeah, she sent me a little YouTube message. It's like, where are we going to tape another show, boys? I was like, anytime, Queen Joan.
I liked her. She was very sweet.
But today we have not the Queen Joan of the internet, but Queen Michael Liatt, the technology blogger.
What an introduction.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Fausto. How are you?
You are just a ray of sunshine and gorgeousness. It's a shame you're not coming up with us to Soggy Tux this weekend to hang out with Coco Peru.
I suck and fuck.
Suck and fuck. And all sorts of wonderful puns for the Fire Island of the Midwest.
Uh-huh. But you've already been getting action already this week. Well, seeing some action going on.
Oh, seeing some action, yes.
So you actually did the shocking thing. You went to the gym today.
Yes. He's been going. He's been good.
I've been going. David and I have been going for about 3 weeks now.
Who's David?
Mm-hmm. My best friend, David.
Your gal pal, David.
Yeah, my gal pal, David.
Espinoza.
We've been going 3 days a week. And I saw today some dick at the gym.
The gym.
Where's my sexy whistle here?
Well, the dick that I saw was not in the gym. It was actually outside the gym.
Outside? Somebody was like on the street corner?
Wait, Michael, should I go up or down?
Oh, it was good.
Okay.
Well, it certainly was fun, right?
It was fun. I was over at the Cheetah in on Broadway, and everything's on the second floor.
So it's a gym that shares the same name as the stripper club in the movie Showgirls.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just to clarify that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's working out that you were doing, but if it's at the Cheetah, I know it's not that, but that's for sure. You don't know shit. Slime store.
Oh.
So you actually saw some guy stroking his dick.
Yeah. So I'm on the second floor, looking out the window,
but here's the
doing
catch.
My exercise, and they're doing work on the street in front. So traffic is backed up, and I look down and I see this guy just beating his meat. Big
in
time.
His car.
In his car.
It was a butcher tenderizing some steak tenderloin.
That's exactly what it
was. Was it
like.
Fast and Furious or was it long?
It wasn't Fast and Furious. I was trying to figure out if he was on his way to get some and he was getting ready, or he was on his way home and wanted to get rid of it before he saw his wife.
Or boyfriend. You
or
don't
boyfriend.
Know.
You know what it is? You is know. That I drove here from here to the AT&T store to deal with our cell phone woes. And the traffic was pretty bad. And I can see that some people may develop road rage during rush hour and want to release the pressure. And Steamworks is nowhere to be found. So they have to, whip it out, I guess.
Take
the law into their own hands.
Yeah. You know, talking just quickly off topic, you were talking about lots of traffic. Have you used the traffic layer on Google Maps?
Of course. I've been the first person to use it.
I love that. It's so great that they're... But the interesting thing is they're using your technology, your phones, to generate that.
Mm. Because where's my cut in the money?
You should get it. You know?
Well, it doesn't cost any money to use it, does it? Well, no, except for our expensive phone bills.
Yeah, exactly. No, but what they're doing is they're using everybody's individual GPS signals on their phone to measure how fast they're going and where they're going, and that's how they're able to generate the secondary street traffic maps. Because normally, you know, the traffic maps are generated by the state are the big intersections because sure. they have sensors in the mm-hmm. roads and all this, but Google's actually using individual cell phones and users to generate that secondary street traffic.
So what you're saying is that there's a mob of people on Segways, those motorized scooters, yep. or people on bicycles that could throw the whole thing off.
Exactly.
Interesting. So yep. Segways, stay off the roads and stop throwing my Google Maps traffic alerts.
Well, I don't
think
they're allowed on the road. So it's kind of, it's Big Brother, isn't it?
We're
all watching each other and you know, taking care of each other's traffic flow.
It's very interesting. I was on my Android. It's got a GPS test. Mm-hmm. And it shows you which satellites you're looking at mm-hmm. in the site. And it tells you that the closest accuracy I've been is within 1.7 feet.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Meanwhile, Coco Peru is on a pay-as-you-go phone. And it costs her 25 cents a minute to talk to her mother in Kankakee.
So that call yesterday with her, or the day before, cost her an arm and a leg?
No, it was courtesy of the theater that she's doing her show at. Nice. So we were on their phone system.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But this weekend, we're going to be hanging out with the great Coco Peru.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And hanging out meaning we'll be sitting in the audience watching her do stuff.
Staring at her.
Staring at
and
her.
And she'll be gasping at Larry LaFontaine's laugh.
Larry LaFontaine, the great comedian. What is it? He's a comedian in a sense, but he's a Spanish, a Latino studies, gay and lesbian premier scholar. He's kind of like if Oprah had, what was her name, that black lady wrote all those poems?
Maya Angelou.
Oprah to Maya Angelou. Larry LaFontaine is my Maya Angelou. He's a repository for everything that's good and queer and Puerto Rican. And so he knows everything about everybody. And
he likes the
And he has this crazy, crazy laughter. Like Mr. That guy who used to giggle all the time on Sesame Street. The
oh, Mr. Giggles?
Yeah, but he had a different name. Harvey was his first name, but I forgot his last name.
Yeah.
But for you Muppet Sesame Street fanatics, you would remember him. But mm-hmm. he had big curly hair, and Larry LaFontaine giggles incessantly at everything. So we'll be sitting in the audience, and he'll be like a one-man laugh trap for the whole show. So I cannot wait for that.
So you'll be getting a stink eye mm-hmm. from Coco all night.
She'll be like, why are you laughing?
She'll be like, why do the two of you look so familiar, and why are you bugging me?
I wonder if she'll even recognize us.
She recognizes me. Yeah.
Oh, she will.
She recognized me last time we saw her.
Oh, that's right.
She went, hello, Fausto.
I have 1 minute for a photo with you, and that's it.
And so I said, well, make it count, baby. And so we embraced each other in a tender, brief, but passionate embrace. Mm-hmm. So I just can't get my mind off of this Target bullshit.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't been living in a rock or in a cave, or if you don't shop at Target... The big heartless corporation Target, who used to be the good guys, donated $1/8 million to try to basically
$150,000.
Why would you say $150,000?
Because it sounds better.
Because he said it the other day. I don't even think it's an eighth.
Is it?
I don't know. But I don't think it is. But I heard that number somewhere else.
What is
else?
10 divided by 8?
Let's see.
I think it's like 1.25 or 1.20.
No, it's not. So it's 1/6. Is that right?
1/6? No.
Times. No,
it's 100. It was $150,000.
It's almost a six.
Just use normal nomenclature.
Well, but
use the stuff that everybody else is using. Don't just invent new stuff.
$150,000. They're starting to use the 1/8 million because I saw that somewhere else today, and I'm like, why? Because they want to make it sound more, much, much more.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
That
baby.
It is that it's a million.
But listen, $150,000. How can you guys sit here and argue that $150,000 is not a lot of money?
You're like nuts. Commercials.
You've lost your mind.
How many TV commercials will that buy?
Not a lot.
You know, I don't know. It bothers me, and I'm saying protest it. I'm saying go into Target, buy a bunch of stuff, or don't buy it. Just load it up to your cart, take it up to their cash register, and be like, I'm not paying for this stuff, and then walk out. Or take photos of gay people shopping there and post it online.
Well, because they've given $150,000, Mr. Phelan.
And Mr. Liat.
And Mr. Liat. Michael Liat.
Sorry for being right.
Anyways, the point here is that they gave a lot of money to try to control a political candidate. I think it's the governor of Minnesota,
Tom Emmers.
And they're trying to control him. And it's really disturbing because this is the equivalent of the modern day equivalent. I know it sounds paranoid and crazy of Skynet, which is computers or machines trying to control human beings. And for you, for regardless of your political persuasion, of whether you're for marriage equality or against it, the fact that you could even consider arguing in defense of this type of behavior is saying, I want Skynet to rule over me. I want to live in the world of the Terminator robots because they're hunky and they're made out of metal. And if I'm nice to them, maybe they'll put out.
Trust of the corporations, they're not robots.
Well, they're still they're non-human entities, and corporation. I think making the comparison is somewhat reasonable. It's a saying that we want non-human entities to behave like human beings and have the same influence and impact on our lives as human beings do. And so, the Supreme Court, with this ruling that they just did just in January, this is the first rocket. Yeah, this is the first bomb in this war against humans and non-humans. I mean,
well,
you know.
But no, I agree because this is the start. And we also need to remember that Best Buy donated $100,000 also to Minnesota Forward. So it's Best Buy
and
Target.
But the gays never loved Best Buy. Like
I know. I guess that's been the biggest thing is that we thought that Target was our friend.
The biggest betrayal.
Yeah. And here they're like, you know, sorry. That's all you're getting.
So I went to one of those websites where you can curate those cat macros. And I took like scenes from Terminator and I wrote like boycott Skynet. And everybody's like, that's brilliant. And because it's a little bit silly, too, you know, it's like, but at the same time, like, instead of the eyes of the robot, I'm going to, like, Photoshop
the Target
logo.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know?
I love that.
Because I think if people start comparing the actions of Targets with the actions of the fictitious evil computer in Terminator movies, then I think maybe it'll catch on. Because human beings, like, we're just not getting it. People are just like completely,
oh, well, they have a right to control our lives. They're a corporation. They make nice things. They have a right to make money.
And this is just the start. Wait till the beer companies, the car companies, the cable companies. You know, pretty soon it's going to be the politicians are working for the corporations and they're no longer working for the people.
And I'm sure that's part of the reason why Target is like, why they don't really care that much. Because they're like, you know what? We're getting the brunt of this because we are kind of like the first.
They're pioneers.
The first people to actually do it. And so they're thinking it'll blow over. Somebody else will come along.
They'll make a bigger donation.
So it won't be as big. And like what Rupert Murdoch gave $1 million to the governor's organization, Republican governor's organization.
And nobody said anything about that, did they?
I mean,
people are screaming bloody murder. But let's flip that around. If the New York Times had given $1 million to the Democratic Party, you bet that Fox News would have a heart attack. You know, but because it's Fox News doing it,
it's
their silence.
Yes.
And you shall be silenced.
Well, you know, because they're pulling the troops out of Iraq, the last combat troops. And they, I guess MSNBC has been in there like for the past couple of days because they got the exclusive. So Fox News is probably like, God damn it, we shouldn't be such assholes to the president. And maybe we'd be able to cover that. But alas, Rachel Maddow in the
Middle
East.
They have tons of money, you know, and they have the fact that they have $1 million to donate to a political candidate, where in most other countries it's like,
but for a corporation $1 million is nothing.
But what I'm saying is that the fact that either way, you know, some corporations are hurting for money.
Well,
not all of them have money to burn like this,
but a big one like that is
Well, a big or small, some corporations go into bankruptcy, mm-hmm. regardless of their size. Right. And so the fact that they actually feel that they can, one, spend this kind of money, and two, that it actually benefits them as a company is pretty outrageous,
well,
you know?
Their whole reason behind supporting Emmers is that he's anti-union, mm-hmm. He's for business, and he's lower taxes. So their whole thing is, well, he's going to bring more business, more jobs, you know, and keep the unions out because, you know, Target is the second biggest retailer behind Walmart. Mm-hmm. Walmart is the largest, and we don't even want to talk about their policies and how they treat people. Mm. I'm reading a very interesting book about them right now. But, you know, Target, their reasoning behind standing was business, 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 and nothing about people.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, but people do matter, and hopefully it'll help. Things will happen, but I urge people to protest, to not go there. And I mean, who owns Target? Even I
Target
mean,
is a privately owned
it's
organization.
It's privately owned, so it's not publicly traded at all.
Oh no, it's publicly owned. I mean, it's publicly traded.
Okay,
I think it's just T is just the
T. So disinvest, sell your stock if you're listening.
If you're a stock owner of Target,
if you have a mutual fund, see if they're investing in Target and persuade them to sell that off. Disinvest. It worked in South Africa. It can work for Target.
Nah, 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 nah. Ain't gonna play Sunset. Yeah, yeah.
Let's play a fun game here.
Okay, what's the game?
So Michael brought this up.
Anything to get me stop thinking about Target.
Target is TGT. TGT is the
TGT.
Stock
TGT on the stock market.
Sell it.
Divest.
Sell it.
Get rid of it.
Buy Walmart. I don't care. Just get rid of Target.
Get a dividend at least from Walmart.
Okay. So, you know, we've all played Hangman before. So John McClone built a computer game with a series of algorithms to figure out what exactly is the hardest word to guess. And so, Fausto, we're going to have the word here, and you're going to have to try and guess what the word is.
How many characters are in the word, first
there
of all?
There are four. I'm going to show it to you.
Oh, it's a four-letter
like
word?
It's a four-letter word, yes.
Oh, so okay. It's not fuck.
Michael, you write down the letters.
Okay.
Wow, that's interesting.
So your first letter.
Okay, so I want the listeners at home. So we're going to pick common letters of the... So R?
R, no.
S?
No.
T?
No.
N?
No.
M?
No.
So that's what makes it a hard word to guess, because yes. Those commonly used letters are not in it.
Yes.
The letter E.
No.
The letter A.
Yes.
Okay. So,
It's the second letter.
It's a second letter. Oh, my God. How about the letter F?
No.
Y?
No.
W?
No.
H?
No.
That's real exciting.
You're dead.
Let's just read through the alphabet here. I don't know what are there any more letters in the alphabet?
Yes.
O?
No.
So any E, I.
You did E already.
I
no.
So A is the only vowel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, K.
No.
How about B? As in boy. V as in Victor.
You're dead.
Are there any other letters?
Yes.
Yes.
How about X?
No.
Well, this is really hard because there
it's the hardest one.
It's the hardest word to answer, four-letter word to solve in Hangman, mm-hmm. because it doesn't actually use any letters of the alphabet. C, as in cookie. That's good enough for me. What is the answer?
No, keep going.
Keep going.
D, as in dog.
No.
The rest of the alphabet. What's the answer?
Give me one. I'm not letting you go. I'm not.
L?
No.
Did we do L?
No.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K?
J.
J.
Okay, so letter J.
J in the first position.
J-A.
J-A, K-L-M-N-O-P, Q-R-S, U-V, W-X, Y, and Z. What is the word?
Jazz.
Aha! Uh-huh. I did say Z as in...
Oh, no, you didn't.
You said Z was the exact
we
last one you did.
We must both keep
the
track.
So, yeah. Jazz, hot baby.
Yeah,
jazz.
So that is, and he ran this through over 90,000 words.
That is hard.
He selected the 1,000 the most promising, and then ran the game over 3,000 times just using those 1,000 words. And all said and done, he played the game nearly 8 million times. And
boy, did he have a lot of free time.
Well, it's a computer.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like at least 8, 9, 10, and up to 13 guesses for the most of the time.
Well, Dr. Laura lost her job. Oh. So can we have hers?
Yeah.
I'll half as racist as she is. I'll just say N-word instead of the full word.
Uh-huh. We'll say all sorts of crazy shit.
You know, I'll just say like L-word mm-hmm. instead of, you know,
the
lesbian.
F-word, the mm-hmm. G-word.
Yeah, I'll say all sorts of letters and the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The J-word, yeah, which the J-word. Is jazz.
Yeah.
Which is actually, I think I recall it being a euphemism for heroin.
Jazz? I thought it was jizz.
Jizz and jazz.
Because it used to, when jazz first came out, it was spelled J-A-S-S. And jazz, I thought it had to do with baby. Like your ass and your movement.
Yes, jazz hot baby. Mm-hmm. Jazz hot baby. So what else is going on, Mark?
Well, kids. We got some questions from Facebook and people want to know. They were talking about what do you think about Ann Coulter being rebuked by other conservatives for agreeing to headline HomoCon? Do LGBT people have a future in the American conservative movement? So, you know, she's going to speak at HomoCon in New York City. Yeah. And some other conservative organization said, well, if she's speaking for that, she can't speak to us. So she's mad because she's like, I speak to all sorts of crazy
Since
people.
Since when
I don't
did Ann Coulter become a fag hag for neocons? Because wasn't she the one who said the F word to...
Yeah, John Edwards called
John
him a
Edwards, faggot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how's that like being pro-gay?
She's not being pro-gay. She does not agree with the gay people.
But yet she'll hang out with them.
That check. She says she talks to people all the time. She even said, she goes, I speak at colleges all the time. I speak at Harvard. I might as well be speaking in front of Al-Qaeda.
You gotta love her for saying that.
You know,
I went to clown college. Mm-hmm. That's a Simpsons joke. You mean Harvard? No, I wish you would stop talking about Harvard that way. Well, I don't know. Some of these gay Republicans are awfully sexy, and I wouldn't mind having sex with them. Just please don't talk about
politics. Leave the politics at home.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to hear you gush about what a great time you had at mm-hmm. Target.
They're not going to talk about that. They're going to talk about smaller government, lower taxes, strong defense.
But regardless of what your political opinion is, it's like your ability to manifest your political mm-hmm. opinion goes out the window when you have no ability to defend yourself against massive amounts of money. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter who you are.
It's all about money.
You know? And Coulter should
people fight and win.
Going right back mm-hmm. to Target.
Like, even Republicans are for net neutrality, you know, but the teabaggers have gotten involved in the whole neutrality.
They don't understand what net neutrality is.
They don't own a computer.
They don't understand what's happening. I mean, if you're an old lady wearing a hat with teabags hanging off your head, they're not understanding what net neutrality is. They don't even know how to steep tea. They just, you don't hang it from your head. You put it in the whatever.
Okay, people.
But listen.
Boil some water. Mm-hmm. Take the tea bags. Put it in for 4 minutes. You get some good tea. You don't need to put it in a jar and let it sit outside for the whole day.
And don't squeeze the bags when mm-hmm. you take them out.
That's right.
No, because Foster likes to squeeze it. He likes it a little bitter.
I like it a little bit bitter. Because I feel like I get the antioxidants by squeezing it. I may be wrong or right on this one.
Hey, it's what you like.
But I like a little bit of tartness.
You do what you like. You do what you like. Speaking of freedom of speech and people speaking, the state ban on protests at military funerals in Missouri is unconstitutional. Mm. So the Westboro Baptist Church has won again.
Well, the day Josh Kilmer Purcell, mm-hmm. the writer, said that the day he dies, he wants them to protest at his funeral.
They just might. So the federal appeals court said that the law forbidding protests at military funerals is too broad. It's, quote, it restricts expressive activity, not just within or on the premise of a cemetery, of a church, but also on traditional public fora, such as the adjacent public streets and sidewalks. And so they were like, you can't do it. You know, but it didn't impress the broader case of First Amendment claims, because it was like, this other thing is good enough to throw it out.
Okay.
Well, should we send a congratulations letter to Shirley Phelps or what?
Well, hey, congratulations on winning your case.
You won.
You know,
mm-hmm. congratulations, Shirley. Just don't come near my neighborhood. Somebody wrote, we're at Tape Your Show, what's going on? And Michael Kern says, honey, you must be taping for the gym. And I'm like, so there, I guess there's somebody at my gym that looks like me that this guy thinks is me.
You're there now.
You know, I'm like, I'm not at the gym.
He's sitting right here in front of us.
I'm sitting.
Is that on your profile?
Yeah.
It somebody, Michael Kearns. Michael Kearns from San Francisco is going to be.
I guess. I don't know what he's talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe he's looking at your photo. Let me look.
He's confused. I don't know. Confused. Maybe he's, or I'm confused what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael Kearns, but there is there a benefit coming up, or did it already happen?
I think that happened. It was the 15th, right?
With Carol Channing and Carol Cook and lots of fabulous queer people all singing and dancing and having a good
time. Well,
on
the Feast of Fun page, Maddie Tayama says, Fausto, I like it when you don't shave your arms. Hairy arms are very sexy.
You shave your arms?
He did for...
How am I supposed to be a pretty vampire tranny and be hairy? I'm not like Russian.
Wait, so
I'm
you just Eastern... shaved your arms like 2 days ago?
Now, when did you shave them?
I shaved them for our Tostones video that hasn't
with
been
Larry?
Finished. Yeah.
That was June.
I don't know, baby.
You must have shaved it since then for a while.
No, that's what I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Or maybe that was July.
It just takes some of my hair grows slowly.
Because I'll tell you, it was like, oh my God, it was like a cactus for a while.
That's the problem when it grows back.
Hey, listen, if these hunky video bloggers can shave their bodies and raise their YouTube hits, so can I.
And Donnie Avery says, what is your secret to a successful relationship, or do you two prefer to not talk about your relationship?
We're at each other's throats half of the time.
Yeah,
I was cussing Mark's name as I was in traffic today.
And he was probably cussing your name at some point today, too.
I had a wonderful day. It was a few. I did. I got up way too early, though, for me, because I only got like 6 hours sleep. I got up. I did a little work, answered some emails, rode my bike to the gym, worked out, checked on some iPhone stuff, and then I had a little bite to eat, came home, and then Fausto went out to Oak Brook to... What did
Oak
you do?
Brook.
Oh, I was all day. So, I mean, it's not worth talking about, but it's, you know, I was working and you were at the gym drinking lattes.
I was working too.
But, you know, working out. So we went out to dinner the other day and you know, no matter how. So, you know, I think sometimes for couples, it's important to have a sense of perspective. Yeah. And we're sitting here, you know, and sometimes we're like, why are we even with each other? You know? And then you sit down in a restaurant and you see these other couple, like they sat us in the romantic couple section of this restaurant. And I was like, boy, I'm glad one that I'm straight and two, I'm not in a relationship with these people, because they were so, especially the men to these women, they were so abusive and horrible and mean to them and so full of themselves. And these women were just sitting there taking it. So the chick to the left of us and the guy was like, kept bragging about how he has a high self-esteem. And the problem with society today is low self-esteem. And if all poverty and crime would be erased if we just dealt with self-esteem, and that's why black kids in the ghettos, if they're, you know, because he has high self-esteem. And I'm like, yeah, it's easy for you to say whitey. Then to my right is this Asian mixed race couple.
But you forgot this guy was actually yelling.
He's yelling at her.
He was yelling at the woman at one point in time. Yeah, I was like, because I wasn't really paying attention to their conversation at all until he started yelling. I was like, what's going on?
And are the woman, sure, was so embarrassed. Are you sure it wasn't a John Quinones What Would You Do episode?
Oh, maybe. I hope it wasn't.
But anyways, to my right, it was an Asian woman and this big, ginormous white guy. And
he looked real weird.
He looked weird, and he kept on going like, if I order some of this sausages, are you going to share that with me? And I'm like,
it was sausage. It was like a cassoulet. It was sausages and beans.
And so he kept on like scarfing it down, and this woman's just like there. And she said, you know, I'm just not really happy in this relationship, and I think it would be a good idea if we didn't see each other again.
Oh, she said that?
Yeah.
And then, at the beginning of the dinner.
At the beginning of it.
At the beginning? And well, then that sets the tone for the rest of the meal, doesn't it?
And he spent the rest of the time lamenting all his past girlfriends to her. It was so weird.
So wait, was he saying that she was better or worse than his ex-girlfriends?
I don't remember.
He said that he felt he was very happy that she trusted him enough to say how unhappy she was with their relationship to him. And that he felt when he first met her, and this is, he kept saying this over and over again. So Mark and I are not having any
not
romantic.
Talking and just listening.
It was dinner theater.
We're cruising guys on our phones.
So this guy,
just to show them where we're at.
So this guy is saying, when I first met you, I couldn't throw you. I would. There was all the chicks in the room. I could not trust them as far as I could throw them.
is what he said. Mm. And this woman's just kind of like, well, I'm glad you're going to throw me across the room. Wow. And I was just like, so, you know, really appreciate what you have, because there's always somebody more miserable and more stupid than you are somewhere else. Mm. Maybe even sitting next to you at the restaurant, eating crappier food than what you ordered from the same menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's a moral of the story.
You could be eating sausage and beans.
Speaking of crappy food, Michael, what KFC is trying out what? This is something they're trying out in three different markets.
This is fantastic.
It just will gross you out the door.
Okay, so, let me guess. Because I haven't seen the new ones.
Oh, go ahead.
They're going to finally, it's like, because, you know, the whole argument against gay marriage is that if human beings can marry each other freely, then the next step, the slippery slope, is that human beings will want to marry animals.
Okay. Yeah.
Stay with me here.
Yes. I follow and your logic.
So vegetarians are arguing that for the opposite is that if we eat meat, animals, the next slippery slope is cannibalism.
Mm.
Kentucky Fried humans.
Oh. Mm.
No.
No. You're
what
wrong.
Is, what is it?
So, you know, earlier this year, they came out with the Double Down.
Yeah.
Which was two deep fried chicken breasts with bacon, mayonnaise, and cheese slathered between them and no bun.
I actually thought that, you know, that's kind of like a jibarito sandwich in Puerto Rico. They've actually been making that for years, which is two pieces of fried plantain with meat in the center, but it's extremely greasy.
This was the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now, in three markets, if you have... Oh, you didn't give me the second page.
Oh.
I was going to list where they are, where you can
find
those
out.
We'll just make it
up, like Dr. Laura does.
They are coming out
with... It's skin and bacon and cheese.
You just ruined it for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the second page. I thought you didn't know what it was.
No, I knew what it was. I wanted to say where they were. Oh. But they've come out with a chicken skin sandwich.
Sounds delicious.
It's fried chicken skin.
Five layers of fried chicken skin.
Five layers?
Five layers, lumped on a bun and topped with white American cheese and bacon. So there's a picture of it.
That doesn't look so bad.
I
looks Japanese, actually.
I do like some Kentucky Fried Chicken skin, because sometimes I just like to take the skin off.
And eat that.
And it's eat delicious. That.
I do like the chicken skin, too. That, they say, is the fatty part.
It is the fatty. It can mean because it's the skin.
This sounds very Japanese, though, for some reason.
Oh, it sounds very delicious.
You know, like they eat like fried octopus skins and stuff like that.
It's also... tongue-parchingly salty is what they're saying. But then, you know,
so would you order, Michael, have you had any of these sort of like bad for you foods?
No, because I didn't try the Double Down, and no, I've been actually trying to eat healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
I'm trying to lower my cholesterol, so I'm trying to be good.
You should be good. British researchers, though, are recommending that fast food places in the UK pass out cholesterol-reducing statins with your food,
like medication,
to help neutralize the heart risk of fatty foods. So yeah, to reduce cholesterol levels in the blood. And they think it could only be like, you know, like, I don't know, like 10-20 cents per serving. So you give somebody a cheeseburger, you give them a statin pill.
Does that actually work? Like it's kind of like taking medication when you don't need it, though.
Well, the researcher is quoted as saying taking a statin is a rational way of lowering some of the risks of eating a fatty meal. In terms of your likelihood of having a heart attack, taking a statin can reduce your risk to more or less the same degree as a fast food meal, as a fast food meal increases it. So it's kind of like a zero sum game.
I don't think that's sort of no.
It doesn't seem like a very good idea, right?
No, it's like, well, yeah, it's kind of like the whole argument. It's like, what is it? People are talking about giving people who practice a lot of risky sex HIV medication to hopefully prevent them from being infected.
Mm-hmm.
What is that called? Pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Prophylaxics.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that kind of approach seems like being pushed by the pharmaceutical companies, isn't it?
I have bad news.
What?
The Skin Witch is fake.
Oh.
Damn it.
How did you know?
He researched it.
Well, I was going to look
after
up
after we started taping.
No. I was going to find the cities where it was listed and on the Chicago Tribune, because you know they're great for breaking news.
Absolutely.
It's fake. The they said, fake. Look at the cities. It was going to be in EKAF, Maine. EKAF. It was going to be in Thistle Lub, Oklahoma.
Thistle Lub?
Which is bullshit.
And then it was also going to be in Aretas, California, which is satire.
Aretas. Oh, it's all the things
it's backwards.
Sons
of bitches.
Michael got duped.
I got duped.
Because I looked at that picture, I thought, this is really unappetizing.
It looks Japanese, though, to me. I could see something like that in Japan happening. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Listen, should we talk about the Beloit College mindset list? So every year they come up with a list of like, is it every year they do this, don't
every
they?
Every year since 98 they've been doing this.
They've been doing this, so it's been 12 years
12
now.
12 years.
So they figure out what the freshmen that are entering college now, what life has been like for them. Like, what's the thing that they didn't have ever used? So we have a list of
things that they've always had.
Always had, that they take for granted.
Yes.
And number two on the list is email is just too slow, and they seldom, if ever, use snail mail.
Hmm.
So they hardly ever write letters.
Yeah.
I hardly write letters
I don't buy that. I mean, well, you know, it's like, it's nice to send someone an actual... Well, we send out... letters all the time with the t-shirts.
Well, yeah, but kids that are 18 don't send letters.
But it is something like when you get, like, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's like, if you send them like an actual card or a letter, it's like, whoa.
It is.
You know?
And that used to be our Facebook.
Yeah. What was? Yeah.
Go to the store and buy a card.
Buy a card, then they look at it and then throw it in the trash.
I used to buy cards at all at one time and have a box, and you'd have to send them out.
I do the exact same thing.
Do you?
You're too freaky. We're too much alike.
Like old ladies.
And so they're saying that few people in their class even know how to write in cursive.
Yeah.
I have to say that my handwriting's gotten worse as the years go by and working with computers, but my typing is fabulous.
Well, yeah, because you're...
But my spelling has gotten worse now that I have more...
Spell checks?
Yeah, spell checking. I just type in a close approximation of the word, and then I fix it later.
Isn't that scary? Because, yeah, that's the way it's become.
Well, you know, it's listen, if you unlearned it, you can learn it again if you ever need it. You know?
Here's one. A purple dinosaur has always supplanted Barney Google and Barney Fife.
Who's Barney Google?
I don't know who Barney Google is.
What? Barney Google Gumble. With the Google googly eyes.
Oh.
Well, you mean Barney Gumble?
No, Barney Google.
Barney Google.
From The Simpsons.
They're saying that Barney, for the 18-year-olds, when you say Barney, the first thing they think of is the purple dinosaur.
That's what thing I think of when you say Barney.
Barney Frank. He is the purple
dinosaur. Beethoven has always been a dog.
Who's Beethoven?
That dog, the big Saint Bernard.
The TV show?
Oh, come on.
They don't know Beethoven.
They don't know Beethoven, the composer.
People are into retro stuff, and they love Hooked on Classics.
I like this one. They never twisted the coiled handset wire aimlessly around their wrists while chatting on the phone.
Yeah.
Don't they still have, still have those kinds of phones at home in people's houses, don't they?
Cordless phones. Yeah, yes and no, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, so we're very Battlestar Galactica in this house. Yeah. All our phones are corded.
Ooh.
Well, because we don't want the audio quality.
For the audio quality.
Here's a little note. Whenever we do interviews with celebrities, we usually try to negotiate because it's sometimes, depending on how famous they are and at what level, we actually demand or ask them to do a corded landline.
Yeah. If you're a celebrity or a celebrity in waiting, make sure that you have a landline.
Access to a corded, not just a landline, because a lot of them are on wireless phones on a landline.
Inside,
a corded landline. It gives you the best audio quality.
Now, here's one. Number 40 on the list is, there have always been HIV-positive athletes in the Olympics in their lifetime.
Who was the first HIV-positive athlete in the Olympics?
That would be... Well, I don't know in the Olympics, but the first one that was made a lot of news was Magic Johnson. And then he participated in the Olympics playing for the dream team of basketball players.
What about that
players.
Swimmer, the gay
Greg
swimmer?
Luganis?
Greg Luganis?
It's Lou Gaines.
Loose anus, I thought. Loose anus.
I actually said that to his face one time, and he almost, killed me.
I'm sure.
He's strong.
I was really drunk... I was hanging out. I don't know why. I was hanging out in the lobby of the Bailiwick Theater, and he was doing a show, and he came out, and I just went, "Hey, it's Greg Luganis." And he looked at me like, "Excuse me." He was horrified. I thought I was trying to be funny.
Well, speaking of that, colorful lapel ribbons have always been worn to indicate support for a cause. Yeah, remember the time before ribbons? Was AIDS the first ribbon that was
actually
support?
It was tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree.
But did people wear the yellow ribbons?
No. AIDS. The AIDS ribbon first got his big push at the Oscars when Billy Crystal And Whoopi Goldberg and all those liberal comedians mm-hmm. were wearing AIDS ribbons. And back then, when it first started, it was not everybody was wearing mm-hmm. an AIDS ribbon. And then after the events of September 11, everybody was wearing like a...
But then
a
there was pink also, pink, too.
Pink and white. Breast cancer. And yeah. now there's purple and green.
What's purple
and,
for?
And then there's Alzheimer's. The blue ribbon. For fabulousness.
And then there's another one here that says they've never recognized that pointing to their wrist was a request for the time of day. Come on. Kids have to do that. Do you know? Well, people don't do that anymore. Do you have the time?
I don't
you
have a don't. Watch.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, the cell phone. When we gesticulate to the guests or to someone, to each other, to hurry up, uh-huh. we do fingers rolling around each other to suggest a wheel turning, mm-hmm. uh-huh. not to point to the wrist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is true. You don't. Suggest no. time by that way. I never actually. I had a wristwatch back in the 80s when swatches were popular.
Yeah,
I had a white swatch.
I did too. I had a white and a black one with a black.
Michael,
face.
We have so much in common.
I know this mine is just
had
too
like
freaky.
Mine had a graph on it. It was like a colored graph.
You probably still have it somewhere. I the don't. Thing that bothered me about wearing wristwatches, and remember about 5 or 6 years ago, wearing those Hercules wrist. Leather wristbands uh-huh. got became popular mm-hmm. and then the trend after that was turning them into little coin purses.
Uh-huh.
Well, you would lift that and you would smell underneath your wrist.
Oh,
and
they smell disgusting.
Yeah, it smelled like rotten ass.
Swatch watches smelled like that too, because that plastic up against smelly. Your screen. Skin.
And do you remember the white bracelets that were made of what do you call it? Like twine. They were braided. It was like braided.
Oh, like friendship bracelets. Yes. Those things.
But the ones that were white and they were big, but you would get them wet and it would shrink yeah. to fit.
We used to those braid those too. In school, in high school.
Well, you know what's making a big 80s comeback is rubber. Those rubber band bracelets.
Yeah.
But they're in the shape of things that they like.
Yeah.
And so if you're like for gay rights, like it could be like a triangle, for example, and then you put it on around your bracelet and no one can see that you're wearing a triangle.
I want one with boobies.
And actually, get this. This is so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Retro is old is new. They're selling them in shapes of iPods, iPhones, uh-huh. iPads, but they're just rubber bands.
They're just rubber bands in shapes. Yeah. Whoever came up with that idea is making millions.
Did you lose your list, Fausto?
I have a list. I just didn't like my list.
You didn't like your list?
No, the only one that I thought was remarkable was their parents' favorite TV sitcoms have always been showing up in movies. So like the Brady Bunch movie, the Scooby-Doo movie. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know.
It's a weirdly worded thing, this whole list. You're kind of like,
well. Well, and I'm like, who decided this list was going to be? It's like, this list is
it's
like
Beloit,
such.
Beloit, Fausto. It's Beloit.
How can you question
who
them?
Who at the university decided? Because this is like, this seems like an ad snuck in into information. Mm-hmm. They're like, they've always been able to blast off with the fabulous Sci-Fi Channel. Mm. I'm like, that's an ad. That's all an right. ad.
Well, on Facebook, Andy Ferrister wants everyone to know that he loves it when guys show off what they've got in their tight shorts. Mm-hmm. More, please. Oh. And Paco Barola says, I want to see more videos of you in drag.
Who, me? Us in drag?
Yeah, us in drag. Michael, can we ever convince you to shave that goatee for a drag video?
You'd be such a pretty girl.
Maybe.
I'm maybe. Not putting.
Would I have to shave my mustache the other
day,
too?
Yes, you have to shave the whole thing. Just go down for a day. Yeah, it's not. Okay.
Because I
think
look,
you'd be
I'll
real
I'll
pretty.
My hair's
lady.
Growing back. You know?
Oh, I know. This grows back rather quickly. I haven't had you're it off in pretty. Ages.
Now, the other day on Facebook, I posted something on your page about China took back one of its pandas yeah. because it was out of shape. Because, you know, they China will lend pandas to pretty much just anybody. Yeah. If you want a panda, you just call up China and they'll lend one to you. But the thing is that they always own them.
Yeah.
And they always, like, try to repatriate them back to the country of China. And they took one back because it was out of shape. And well, so I posted it on your thing because you said something about working out. And then I think people thought that I was calling you fat or something because I don't think people understood that. It's because it's a panda and you dressed up as a panda with us last year two years ago for Halloween.
Yeah.
So I hope they understand that.
Let's just say that Michael's not the most full-figured person we know.
Thank you.
So also people are asking me if I know this is Rob O-H-S-E-O-C. Mm-hmm. I know this is a long shot, but it would be awesome if you could interview Zsa Zsa Gabor before she, well, you know.
They just gave her last rites. Excuse me, Zsa Zsa. I'd like to talk to you. We could.
It's so fabulous.
As a matter of fact, we have her here now. Zsa Zsa.
Yes.
I want to know, what kind of cocks do you like to suck?
I like to suck big, giant dicks, of course, darling. The bigger, the most fabulous.
Do you like to swallow or do you spit it out?
I'm a princess. I don't swallow. I spit it out.
Did you kill your sister, Ava?
I did not kill her. Oh. I just disavowed her. Because she looked at me and I cut a bitch. If you cut a bitch.
What is it that you said, the wonderful thing you said? Cut a bitch.
I didn't say it. One of our friends on Facebook did.
But what is it?
Because there's these things. Everybody on Facebook is like, there's status updates where they're like, I focus on the positive things in life, not like these negative people horrible who say negative things. And we're like, well, that in itself is negative right there. Well, if you focus on the positives, then focus on the positive. Why are you focus on this negative
screw
stuff?
The negative.
And so somebody wrote, it was like, you got to cut a bitch and then counsel and uplift them. Because, you know, it's just preachy. You know?
Okay, so let me do that as Joshua Gabor. Okay.
Darling, you must cut a bitch and then counsel and uplift them. That's the princess Faye.
And send them on their way.
And send them on their way because, honey, they're much better.
Right.
They go to a far, far better place than I have ever been, which is the spa where I was sitting there with a cucumber face mask peel. Ali McLean wants to know, what happened to your kombucha obsession, darling?
It's still around. It's still around.
Yeah, it's still brewing.
I think I'm gonna brew some up tonight.
The problem with kombucha, here's the problem with kombucha. If you're ever going to do it, if I were to do it all over again, I would get one with a spigot on the bottom.
Oh.
Because there's the two schools of thought. There's the continuous brew, where you just throw some tea and sugar as you make it. And so it's slightly sweet. And because kombucha has a very narrow window where it's drinkable and it's ready to go. And then it just gets really bitter all of a sudden. And you just like don't want to drink it, you know? And that's the problem
I have.
It's
the bottling of it and keeping it in the fridge. And
it would be easier with the spigot on the bottom.
The problem with the spigot is though you have to have it above 70 degrees. If you get it into the 60 degree range, then you get bad bacteria may grow in there.
Oh.
And so if your house is not above 70 degrees, what are you going to do?
Gotcha.
Because we all know in the summer, you get air conditioning, so it gets lower. And then in the winter, it gets cold. So, you know, how do you keep it at that constant state?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out.
Mm. Like, you care, Michael.
No, I like your kombucha.
You never drink any of it.
You gave me a bottle a while ago, and I brought you the bottle back.
That's
empty.
True.
I drunk it.
He fed it to his dog.
No. That's what killed the dog.
Your dog did die, didn't it?
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
He died. Well, my roommate's dog
from kombucha poisoning.
Yes, kombucha.
I'm sorry.
Now just the cat's left.
Rock Coleridge wants to see my legs in workout photos. And when can we look forward to Mark taking sexy photos of him?
I'll send you a sexy photo, Rock. You send me one, too. If you guys want, send all cock shots to mail@feastoffun.com to put cock shots in the subject line so I make sure I look at it right away.
Otherwise, darling, you're on your own. You have to buy pornography.
Because I love hearing from sexy listeners.
If you're sexy,
it is your responsibility to share that.
Yes, absolutely. If you feel you have heat, darling, then share it with the rest of us, because a cock is a terrible thing to waste.
It surely is.
Michael, so nice to see you.
Oh, well, thank you. Always. I always have such a great time with you boys. Thank you.
It's coming to an end. I can't, you know. I actually have to run off to the gym to work on my legs.
And then go take some sexy pictures of it.
I'll try. I don't know. I just don't, you know, it's like, it's hard. I can get a good photo of my upper body, but it's like, with your own camera, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
We're going to leave you here with the song End of the World by the delicious Matt Alber. He's going to be performing with the fantastic Jen Porter this Friday here in Chicago for the Jackhammer Music Rock and Roll Show, Flesh Hungry Dog, if you live in Chicago. And if you're up in the Midwest in cities like Detroit, Michigan, come hang out with us in Saugatuck. We're going to be trolling around Coco Peru on Friday night as well. And we're going to be there all weekend long.
I want to get some pictures of her out of drag.
You can get her out of drag at the nude beach.
Oh, yeah.
If you press see Coco Peru.
Is there a nude beach? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I've seen him on Will and Grace out of drag, and he's not a bad looking guy, you know. We all wish we look half as good sometimes, you know. Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to send lots of loves. You know, remember.
Positivity.
Yes, I want to cut a bitch.
Let's cut some bitches, counsel them, and then uplift them and send them on their way. That's my new motto.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm Fausto Farnas.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I didn't mean to scream out quite so loudly when we screeched to a halt. I'm just never prepared. Maybe we should get on something simpler, like a giant balloon. I've got two tickets left.